in the first seven verses of Isaiah chapter 35, you are presented with a series of contrasts. A wilderness and wasteland, places of desolation, become places of gladness. The desert bursts into flower and blossoms abundantly. Weak hands are made strong, feeble knees made firm. The fearful hearted are imbued with strength and courage. Blind eyes see, deaf ears hear, the lame walk. Those once dumb now sing for joy. I wonder what that might remind you of elsewhere in the Bible. The barren wilderness now has an abundance of water, and lush vegetation now thrives, and there is salvation. Here is the great transforming power and grace of God in the life of a sinner, pictured in these different scenes. There used to be a TV program called This Is Your Life, when each week some well-known person was brought into the studio and all kinds of people would be rolled in to sing their praise and laud their achievements and pat them on the back. Some were more deserving of such recognition than others. In the Bible, God says, "This is your life," and shows you as you are, separated from him in your sins. Here is life outside of Christ and without hope, a wasteland of grief and hurt, disappointment, frustration, dissatisfaction, confusion, discontent. And here is the great transformation, which only the power and grace of God can produce. But produce it, he most certainly can. This can be your life. This will be your life if you take the way which God has provided. God has provided a highway which leads to heaven. And it's on that highway that this new life is known and experienced. And that's what's talked about then in verses 8 to 10. God has established a road by which sinful men and women who have wandered far away from him may return. The picture is of a raised causeway with a road on top. Let's take a look at it. It has some unique and remarkable features which are really worthy of your consideration. And I want to point them out to you this evening under seven simple, short headings. So we're going to have a look at this highway, this road, which Isaiah speaks of in chapter 35. The first thing we notice is that it is a single way, just one road. Now, if you want to travel from one city to another here in the United Kingdom, as in most countries, there are a vast array of possible routes that you could choose to take. The most direct route, the most scenic, using motorways as much as possible, or not using motorways at all. Taking in important landmarks along the way, if you wish. So many choices. In the early days of satellite navigation for road vehicles, we often used to hear stories of people who'd followed their sat-nav so slavishly to the point of ignoring road signs and even putting their own common sense in neutral, they'd end up in all kinds of trouble. A popular thing would be huge trucks stuck in narrow lanes or tiny villages and unable to turn around. Huge rescue vehicles having to be called in to free them from the predicament they got themselves into. There was once a story of a school trip from the south coast, heading up towards London to visit Hampton Court Palace. And the coach driver, using his sat-nav, had entered Hampton Court into his little device, and he'd ended up on completely the wrong side of London at a little side road named Hampton Court, with not a palace in sight. And they got so snarled up in all the London traffic trying to get to where they should have been that the trip had to be abandoned, and they finally returned to their school 9 hours later. And for one little lad on the coach, the only thing that he really had to show for his trip was a picture of the Houses of Parliament that he'd managed to take as the coach drove past. They'd had many choices as to the route they may have taken. With the inept help of the driver, the system chose completely the wrong one. Some people today still insist that there are many roads which lead you to God. Many have held that belief for a long time. They still do. You just have to choose the right one for you. Choose the road which feels the most comfortable, the one which accommodates all your own personal foibles and theories and sensibilities, the road which enables you to continue to live like you want to live, but will still nevertheless get you to God. As long as you mean well, as long as you don't hurt anyone else along the way, why on earth would God not be happy with that? And it's a road of your own construction. It's a road of your own choosing. And yet in Proverbs we read a very well-known verse which simply says there is a way which seems right to a man or a woman, but its end is the way of death. There used to be a saying in Europe, all roads lead to Rome, because there was a time when they actually did. But there is only one road which leads to heaven, and it's the one that God has built. Take this road, and heaven is assured. Take any other road, and the final destination will always be the same. Perpetual desolation and blindness and weakness, culminating in judgment and eternal suffering. God's word makes it clear that there is only one road, and it's the road which he has designed and planned and constructed, in exactly the same way as when Jesus says in John chapter 14 that he alone is the way, the single way, that no one can come to God the Father except through him. As you tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ, remember, you're pointing them to the only way. And secondly, it's a sacred way. Most roads are given names, and you can come across some really strange road names. If you just travel up the coast from Liverpool to Southport, keep going a few miles, you'll come to a little place called Banks. And in Banks, you'll find a road that's called Ralph's Wife's Lane. No idea who Ralph was. I don't know why they couldn't just use his wife's name. But there it is. Ralph's Wife's Lane. Not only does it sound daft, it's actually quite difficult to say. But here in the beginning of verse 8 in Isaiah 35, we have a glorious name for a road. the highway of holiness. This is a sacred way. It's a way of holiness and purity, a way which reflects the being and nature of God himself. Holiness is a distinctive trait of God, and so must the road be, which leads to him. You and I are not holy people, not in the state in which we're born. We're full of sin, wickedness, degradation of every kind. As we were thinking about the other week, in the heart lurks the seeds of every form of evil. But God makes holy those people who walk on this road. And as they walk along it, it's expected of them that they'll be constantly throwing off all sin and putting on righteousness. This is what a Christian can do if they are in Christ Jesus, who is their righteousness on this road. This road is for those who've been saved from sin. It's a road upon which sin is to be forsaken, not tolerated. The unclean shall not pass over it. Those who remain in sin, those who embrace sin, who love sin, who are ruled by sin, who nurture it, who refuse to accept or go through this process of doing away with the old sinful nature, such people have no place on this road. They'll never be found on this road. It's a way of holiness because it's been provided by a holy God and leads to a holy place. And on it are people who have been made holy. More of that in a moment. Through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, men and women and boys and girls are called to repentance and to new birth, that they might walk this road in Christ's righteousness, washed and cleansed and forgiven. It's a wonderful road to walk, and it leads to a most glorious place. I wonder, are you on it? Thirdly, we see that it's a simple way. The second half of verse 8, even the most simple can find themselves on this road. There's no special intellect or education needed, just simple, childlike faith in Christ. It's easy to follow because it's clearly marked. Some public footpaths are impossible to follow. They become so overgrown, you lose sight of the path completely. You don't know where you should go next. The Christian never need find themselves in that situation. You have the Bible. You have God's completed word, a light for your path and a guide for your every footstep, that you might never lose sight of the way that you should go. And you can call out to the Lord in prayer also. You have Christ, who himself is your perfect example and guide. And he is so easy to keep in sight with an open Bible and a prayerful spirit. And you have the Holy Spirit himself also, who will aid and strengthen you, who will instruct you in the truth of God's word. We take great comfort in the fact that we don't have to win any arguments or debates or convince people of some unfathomable proposition in order for them to join us on this road. We simply preach a simple gospel and simple childlike faith in Christ is all that's required. And if you're walking this road, you're walking a safe way, fourthly. It's a safe way. The Apostle Peter, in his first letter, speaks of the devil being like a roaring lion, prowling around the church of Christ, seeking who he may devour. But Isaiah tells us and assures us that as long as you remain on the road, you'll be safe. That lion, verse 9, is Satan prowling all around, waiting for those who might stray off the road. But on the road, you're safe. He has no place there. Keep in mind that the picture of a road on a raised causeway with slopes on either side. Satan has access to the slopes. He'll try throwing things up onto the road to trip you up, to cause you to stumble down the bank where he can get to you. He'll try to tempt you or seduce you or entice you to wander off the road. He'll put up road signs of places and pastimes which sound tempting, which would seek to lure you this way and take you down a detour. He'll erect amusements of every sort at the side of the road, promising all manner of entertainment and satisfaction. But all of those things are empty trinkets designed only to stop you from making any further progress. He'll try throwing things at you to hurt you, to bring trouble to you, to discourage you. Anything to get you off the road where he can sink teeth and claw into you. Sometimes you'll be very aware of his attempts. It can be a little frightening at times. You'll have trials and difficulties, sometimes plenty of them. But here's the promise and the assurance of God's word. As long as you remain on the road, no matter what he is seeking to do to you, on the road, you are safe. In 1 Peter 5, how does Peter say that we may avoid being mauled by this lion, who is Satan? He just says, continue, resist him, steadfast in the faith. In other words, keep walking on the road. And he cannot harm you. He cannot get to you on the road. You must take great comfort that as you go about making this highway known to the lost, you already are walking it in complete safety. You may walk it in full assurance. There is nothing that can get up onto the road to harm you. And fifthly, we see that it's a select way. It's been provided exclusively for God's redeemed people, verse 9. Jesus once talked about two roads. One is broad and wide. Many people are travelling on it, a bit like the M62 at rush hour. And then there's this other road. You won't find nearly so many people. And you won't find just anyone. You discover actually this is a private road. And there's a sign which reads, "The redeemed only, this way." You can't get access to this road any way you like. It isn't a public highway along which anyone can travel without exception. Access is restricted to those who are redeemed. Do you know what it is to be redeemed by Christ? And this makes it, sixthly, a special way. It's a select way. And it's a special way. You can't really do this nowadays. But years ago, before the modern automatic barriers were installed, when you drove through the Mersey Tunnel, you had to pay an attendant in the toll booth, and then they would raise the barrier to let you through. Not the machines we have nowadays with the little baskets that you attempt to throw your coins into, and you're always behind the person who's just missed it completely and is now scrambling around on their hands and knees trying to find that last 10-pence piece to put into the basket. Back in the good old days, you paid an attendant in the booth and they would let you through. But I can remember in those times hearing stories about people who, as they got to the booth, would tell the attendant that they were also paying the toll for the car immediately behind them. But they didn't actually know the people in the car behind them. And they would giggle as they drove away, looking in their rearview mirror, watching the attendant trying to explain to the driver that this complete stranger had just paid their toll for them. Now, Isaiah says here that only certain ones get to travel this highway of holiness. The redeemed, who are also called the ransomed of the Lord. And both redemption and ransom require a price to be paid. These are the ones who Jesus calls, as a shepherd calls his sheep that we heard about 2 weeks ago. These are they for whom Jesus said he came to give his life as a ransom. God's highway is a special road because although it's a private road and payment is necessary, to travel on it, you discover that when you get to the booth, the payment has already been paid. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, you were bought at a price. What a wonderful evidence of the depth of God's love and grace. Everything necessary for your salvation, God has provided. The great cost of your redemption, the price required that you might be set free from sin and ransomed, has all been paid for at Calvary. The Lord Jesus came to give of himself, to shed his own blood, that men and women might walk this road, that they might gain access to this road. And if you were wondering earlier how it is that people like you and I may be granted access to a highway that is sacred and that is only for the righteous, it's because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness and washes us clean. He has paid in full the penalty for our sins. This is no ordinary highway. What a special way this is that God has prepared for his people. And what a thrill to be able to go out into the world and offer to men and women a treasure beyond value for free, because the price has already been paid. Are you walking this road? Because finally, this is a sure way. This is a road which has a definite and certain destination, verse 10. Have you ever been driving somewhere, you've never previously been there, and you find yourself wondering, am I on the right road? Is this really the right way? Or perhaps the person sitting next to you is asking those questions. I remember once driving into Liverpool, and I was down driving on Crown Street by the university, a road I'd used many times before, and discovered that it no longer took the route that it used to. It had been a few weeks since I'd been down that way, and the whole road layout had changed.
and I couldn't get to where I thought it would get me. It really threw me for a few minutes as I had to try and work out which other road I should have taken instead. That will never happen to you as you journey down this highway. It is a sure way. There is no need to be in doubt about this road. You will never have to ask, is this really the right way? We may walk it. We may lead others to it with complete confidence because it is all God's doing. And all of the works of his hands are right and good and true. And look at Journey's End, verse 10. Look at what is said there about this glorious conclusion that is waiting for God's people. As we come with singing and with joy to Zion, into the very presence of God for all of eternity. Now you begin to experience all of those things on the road as you make your way along it. But then you enter into a whole new level of experience when finally our salvation is completed and we enter into glory. Sorrows will still be known on the road, as will struggles and sighing. But such is the transformation that verses 1 to 7 speak of, that even in the midst of sorrows and sighing, you'll find that you can still sing and rejoice always because of everything that you have in Christ and because of what grows ever closer with every passing step and with each passing day. But this road has a certain and final destination. As Christ receives his church into his eternal presence and glory, and sorrows and sighing will be no more. It's a single way, a sacred way. It's a simple way. Even a child can walk it. It's a safe way. None can snatch you from it. It's a select way. The redeemed and the ransomed of Christ. It's a special and secure way. Have you heard the call of Christ, which would bid you come and join this path which leads to life everlasting? God has established a highway which leads to heaven. Christ is its trustworthy and faithful builder. Christ has paid the price that you may enter. Are you on it? This is God's highway of holiness. It leads to life everlasting, and that life is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the door. He is the means of entrance. He will see you safe to Journey's End. The highway of holiness. There's no place like it. The Lord Jesus Christ. There's no Saviour like him.